Education and Beyond is brought to you by the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. The Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation includes four important remits, each having their own individual strands, involving a number of measures and policies at a national level, participation within the European Union Forum, and a series of international collaborations. This is Education and Beyond, a podcast series organized by the Directorate of International Relations and Programme Implementation within the Office of the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. Throughout this series, we shall be looking into the priority areas which underpin the EU and international dimension of the Ministry. Thank you for joining us. In this episode, we shall be discussing higher education and lifelong learning. I am Darren Katkuti, Assistant Director at the International Relations and Programme Implementation Directorate within the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth Research and Innovation. In order to discuss today's topic in more detail, I have the pleasure to introduce today's panel, composed of Jean-Carl Kirkop, who is Manager of the International Relations Unit within the same directorate, and also have the pleasure to introduce Dr. Roseanne Kushkiri, who is Chief Executive Officer of the Malta Further and Higher Education Authority, and Mr. Alex Farrugia, who is Director for Research, Lifelong Learning and Employability, referred to as DRLLE, within the Ministry for Education, Youth, Sport, Research and Innovation. In this first segment, we will be focusing on the evolution of higher education as a sector in Malta. The Malta Further and Higher Education Authority, commonly referred to as MFHEA, was officially launched on the 8th of January 2021 and is legislated by the Revised Education Act, which came into force on the 1st of January 2021. MFHEA's mission is to foster and strengthen the development and achievement of excellent in further and higher education in Malta and promote the evolution of this sector through enhancing research, effective licensing, monitoring of such licensing, accreditation, quality assurance and the designation of the criteria for quality assurance and the recognition of qualifications established under the Malta Qualifications Framework. For this part of the segment, I would like to turn to Roseanne Kushkiri for some questions. Roseanne, thank you for joining us today. Could you please tell us a little bit about what is MFHEA and what does MFHEA do as a role and what does the authority focus on?
Thank you for inviting me to this program. The Malta Further and Higher Education Authority is an independent, transparent and international authority. It's important to bear in mind that every entity which provides further and higher education in Malta, which is pegged at the Malta Qualifications Framework, needs to have a license issued by the authority. The team at MFHEA works to ensure the highest education standards, and we foster a competent community of empowered individuals with right skills to follow their dreams and make the future happen. As you rightly said, our mission statement is to foster the development and achievement of excellence in further and higher education through research, effective learning, accreditation, quality assurance, and recognition of qualifications established under the Malta Qualifications Framework. In fact, we focus on providing accreditation. We provide accreditation to programs or courses of studies at further and higher levels. We do quality assurance of both education institutions and programs. We do recognition of obtained national or even international qualifications, as well as prospective qualifications. We do validation of informal and non-formal learning, and we also do research and policy recommendations on issues related to further and higher education.
Rosen, thank you for your reply. Deeper and more effective transnational cooperation in the higher education sector across all Europe is key to supporting the European Union's values, identity and democracy, to building the resilience of European society and economy, and to building a sustainable future. Which are the different sections of MFHEA, and what are their functions, please?
Well, the MFHEA, although it's made up of rather a small team, is made up of different sections. I would start with the licensing, accreditation and validation section. This is where entities which would like to offer further of higher education in Malta would need to, first of all, apply for a license. This would go hand in hand with the accreditation of at least a program of one ECTS. We work, as you know, in ECTSs. Hand in hand to this, there is a quality assurance section, which audits our licenses, and when necessary, and obviously when things go, the audits go well, we renew the licenses of such entities. Then there is the legal and compliance unit, obviously which deals with legal issues, but also the compliance which has been recently set up takes care that and sees and makes sure that all entities are compliant with their licensing conditions, with what the legislation says. And in fact, it is a very important section of the MFHEA. We then have the research and strategy section, where we do research. For example, I can quote two very important research which is being done. They are the Euro student and Euro graduate studies, which are ongoing, which are EU projects, and which we are working with our European partners. This section works also on the further higher education strategy, which is presently being built and which needs to go through Parliament. This is a strategy for 2020-2030. It's a very important milestone, and we hope that it will eventually be implemented. Then there is the MCURIC, which is the competent body within the MFHEA that recognizes qualifications against the Malta Qualifications Framework. This section provides recognition and comparability of both academic and vocational qualifications using both the Malta Qualifications Framework, as we know it, and the European Qualifications Framework, to be able to provide recognition advice on both local and international qualifications. It also assists in the recognition of Maltese qualifications abroad. MCURIC is also the official, the local official representative of the ENIC NERIC Center and forms part, actually, of the ERIC NERIC network. We also have the communications office, which obviously takes care of notices to providers, and also the organization of events. As you can imagine, we get involved in organizing international events, conferences, and the communications office is a huge asset in this aspect. A very, very important section is the mutual recognition and EU affairs section, which takes care of qualifications which are professional, relating to regulated professions. These are different from the academic qualifications which many people know of. And obviously then there is the corporate section, which combines all the sections together and takes care of all the needs of the authority.
Roseanne, thank you for sharing the information. Strong interconnected higher education institutions are one important instrument for tackling the challenges related to the green and digital transitions by sharing knowledge and co-creating innovative solutions. Thanks for elaborating on MFHEA as an independent, transparent and international authority that works to ensure the highest education standards and fosters a competent community of empowered individuals with the right skills to foster their dreams and make the future happen. Can you mention some particular areas that MFHEA is working on at the moment?
Yes, following COVID, we worked very hard on online, on clear guidelines when it comes to online teaching and learning. As we all know, during the COVID pandemic, most, if not all, institutions went online. I mean, this was inevitable. So eventually we realized that we had to prepare clear guidelines, which now have become regulations when it comes to online teaching and learning, to make sure that quality is maintained. Not just anything goes because it's online. So we really worked hard on those guidelines, which, as I said, in come October, they will become regulations, so everyone would need to abide by them. Recently, we also revamped the issue on students' contracts, making sure that every provider does have a clear contract with all students who are involved with the particular institution, so that each party knows the obligations and the rights, both of students and the provider. Another very, very important milestone at the moment is the document which we are preparing on ethics and values. In fact, last September, we had a one-day seminar where we invited Professor Pat Sykes, who helped us a lot in writing this document. It was a very, very successful seminar, I would say, where we launched these ethics and values guidelines, which again, eventually, will become regulations, because as we know, both the European Commission, the Bologna Follow-up Group, the Council of Europe, they are putting a lot of weight on values in education. So we are abiding by this notion, and that's why we felt that we had to prepare this document. So anyone who is licensed by the authority would need to abide by what should be done and at such a level of education.
Thank you, Roseanne, and thank you, Jean-Carl, for this very interesting discussion that we've had. Certainly, the emphasis on values in education and also maintaining the standards involves a lot of work from the regulatory authority. And we've also seen a volume of initiatives that were rolled out even as a response of the challenges and the opportunities which have emerged out of the COVID-19 pandemic to renew our focus towards further and higher education. Our discussion stops now, and we're going to stop for a short break, and then in the second part of this podcast we'll be focusing on lifelong learning with our next guest, who is Alex Farrugia, Director for Research, Lifelong Learning and Employability.
Welcome back. You're listening to Education and Beyond. This is a podcast series organized by the Directorate of International Relations and Program Implementation within the Office of the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. I am Jean-Carl Kirkop, and in today's episode, we are discussing higher education and lifelong learning. We very much welcome your feedback and questions on any issues arising from today's podcast on our general email, eufers.mayor@gov.mt. We also invite you to subscribe to the Ministry's official Facebook page, Educazioni, in order to learn more about our latest initiatives and to visit our website www.education.gov.mt in order to learn more about the services offered by the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. Additionally, for further information on the Malta Further and Higher Education Authority, please visit their website www.mfhea.mt. Similarly, for more information on the Directorate for Research, Lifelong Learning and Employability, please visit their websites www.lifelonglearning.gov.mt and www.learningbox.edu.mt or send an email to info@lifelonglearning.gov.mt. Following the first part of our discussion, where we discussed higher education, we now shift our focus to lifelong learning. For this, we are now joined by Mr. Alex Farrugia, Director for Research, Lifelong Learning and Employability, commonly referred to as DRLLE, within the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. Currently, the Directorate provides over 400 courses in over 70 subjects in 4 lifelong learning centers in Malta and 1 in Gozo, 27 local councils and 17 NGOs. Courses are delivered in class, online, through blended learning, and using the platform learningbox.edu.mt gives the student the facility to learn at his or her own pace. An average of 8,500 students take courses with lifelong learning each year. Lifelong learning courses are open to anyone above the age of 15. However, the DRLLE specializes in basic skills courses and courses at levels 1, 2, 3, thus providing second chance education for those students who missed out on schools. Thank you, Alex, for joining us today.
Thank you for the invitation.
It is crucial to address the future positively by working on the basis of adult learning needs and having in place formal, non-formal, and informal learning opportunities capable of providing all the necessary knowledge, skills, and competences to create an inclusive, sustainable, socially just, and more resilient Europe. Alex, how did DRLLE respond to the changes in society and the workplace in its service provision?
Well, the course provision was originally in the form of evening classes. That's what originally they were called. I mean, the first courses were given right after Malta's independence in 1964. So the directorate has been working at lifelong learning since then. Originally, it was intended to reduce the rate of illiteracy in the country and also to provide, you know, crafts courses and hobby courses to a different variety of sectors in the Maltese islands. It also included the art schools, like School of Music, School of Art, School of Drama. Nowadays, the directorate has changed a lot. So the directorate is taking care of such things as providing basic skills and second chance education to help people to upskill and reskill in an environment of the working place, which is fastly changing, and where not necessarily the job you entered the labor market in will remain your job for life. So people need to move, there is more flexibility, and we help all those adult students who want to do this this change in their career to make it happen. We also taking care of, especially through non-formal education, citizenship issues. to tackle issues that are important in our society and how to live with them. So we tackle migrant issues, environmental issues, citizenship issues, which are very important for the cohesion of our society. So the directorate has, in a way, focused more on the needs of the labor market. But when it comes to non-formal and informal education, we focused more on the needs of society, of citizenship. We also work with a lot of NGOs in order to provide education for everyone. So that is something which is very crucial for us, because all our courses are also very much subsidized, so that they are accessible to everyone. We also have ancillary services which help those who want to engage in further education in terms of guidance, for example, so that we facilitate those students who want to get back to learning. We facilitate that process of getting back into the learning business.
Alex, we've seen the Directorate for Lifelong Learning go a long way with the evolution of its courses, but simultaneously we've also seen an evolution of the discourse at a European level when it comes to lifelong learning. And we've also seen different policy approaches which have changed over the years. And in the context of the EU, right now we're talking a lot about the dual transition when it comes to the green transition and the digital transition. And we've increasingly talked about the challenges that emerged as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to look at lifelong learning as an opportunity to reskill our population in order to have the necessary means to participate in a renewed economy. And we've also seen the evolution of the European Pillar of Social Rights and its implementation plan, where the EU set a very ambitious headline target of reaching 60% of adults in training by 2030. So my question is, how does Malta fare in relation to other EU countries when it comes to lifelong learning?
Well, first of all, when we're speaking about the European context, we must always keep in mind that every country has its own history and its own context. So, for example, when we're talking about, for example, Nordic countries, let's say Finland, I mean, adult learning was part and parcel of the transition towards independence. So it was actually a political tool back then. So adult learning is ingrained not just in the mentality, it's a part of their culture. So we have to struggle with that, because in our case, we have a completely different history. So to promote and to push adult learning, definitely we need to do much more work, because it's not so much in our DNA and in our understanding of education, why we study, why we learn. We have a completely different mentality, also marked by the fact that we were a colony for much of our history anyway. But the numbers are very good, actually. We are better than the European median. So the work is leaving its fruits. That's what we're doing. Of course, there is also a lot on which to provide. However, even on European scale, we have been, I think, very effective. We have been effective in shaping and changing the policy about adult learning in Europe. May I remind the people who are listening to us that it was Malta who originally pushed towards the inclusion of citizenship education as part of the whole policy about adult learning on at a European level. at a level of European policy. And our proposal was, this was right before the pandemic, and our proposal was so much liked that we had six other countries that immediately joined us, and we kind of formed an alliance to push forward the idea that adult education is not just about the economy, it's not just about jobs, it's not about just about job mobility, but it is also about its political and social. It's also about citizenship values, about rights, about justice, about integration, about sustainability, and with a lot of hard work, let's put it this way, actually we did manage to move the Commission and accept our proposals. So I'm very proud to say that, yes, the numbers speak in our favor, but it's not just that. Also, in terms of policy, we have done a lot and we have been effective on that level.
So obviously this brings me to the last question that I have, and in fact we've seen this movement towards advocating citizenship education and lifelong learning for responsible citizenship. So in short, what are the challenges that Malta has when it comes to lifelong learning, as in now that we look ahead towards 2030?
Yes. So the first challenge is a change in mentality, as I was saying. It's important that we create a mentality that learning is necessary for the whole of our lives. Secondly, we have the challenges that we need more better trained educators, more specifically trained educators, professionals in this field. And I'm very happy that we're collaborating with the University of Malta so that for the first time a Bachelor's of Arts is introduced in adult learning. And the third one is, of course, space. We need better space, which is better equipped, in order to reach out to more people and provide them higher quality education.
Thank you, Alex, and thank you, Rosen, and Jean-Carl. This has been very interesting, but unfortunately time is not in our favor. Definitely higher education and lifelong learning is a very interesting and a very important subject that has evolved. You've been listening to Education and Beyond, a podcast series organized by the Directorate of International Relations and Program Implementation within the Office of the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. In today's episode, we discussed the remit and the functions of MFHEA and also the Directorate for Research, Lifelong Learning and Employability. We very much welcome your feedback and questions on any issues from today's podcast. Our general email is euaffairs.meyr@gov.mt. We also invite you to subscribe to our Facebook page, Educazioni, and also to visit our website, education.gov.mt, in order to learn more about the services offered by the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation. Additionally, the website of the Malta Further and Higher Education Authority is www.mfhea.mt, and the information on the Directorate for Research and Lifelong Learning and Employability can be found on their websites, lifelonglearning.gov.mt, and also their newly launched website, learningbox.edu.mt. We invite you to log in and also stay updated with all the latest initiatives. Thank you for tuning in. Education and Beyond was brought to you by the Ministry for Education, Sport, Youth, Research and Innovation.